God, grant that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you. Amen. There's a member of this congregation who doesn't get out of her house much anymore, Wynn. And so Pastor Kate and I take turns visiting her. And when I visit, she often shares memories of her childhood in New Zealand. One time, years and years ago, before my son Holden was born, we talked about Wynn's family's goodnight ritual. It was something like the Walton family's goodnight, Pa, goodnight, Ma, goodnight, John Boy. But in Wynn's family, once everyone was in bed, they all would call out to each other one by one, "Good night and God bless you." Wynn's story stuck with me, and now when I tuck Holden in at night, I tell him, "Good night and God bless you." I make the sign of the cross on his forehead, and I tell him that it's a reminder that God loves him, and that nothing can ever change that, nothing can erase that cross. We've done it often enough now that I don't always have to say the whole spiel myself. As I'm marking the cross on his forehead, he will whisper, "Nothing can erase it." And he tells me also, "Good night and God bless you." And he makes the sign of the cross on my forehead, or sometimes over my whole face, depending on his mood. The prophet Ezekiel, whose vision of the valley of dry bones we hear this morning, was called to speak the word of God to the Hebrew people in exile in Babylon. Ezekiel's vision speaks of God's promise to bring new life to the people and community of Israel again, but the vision begins as a nightmare. The picture of that valley full of human bones hints at a tragedy, at violence and loss so complete that there is no one left to bury the dead. They are left to the wind, sand, and scavengers, stripped of their flesh, forgotten, becoming dust with no one left to mourn or witness. The vision God shows Ezekiel is a picture of utter desolation. But it's not how God sees the people in exile. It is how they see themselves and how they feel, with no temple, no king, no home, all of the things they had seen as God's presence with them before. Without them, they feel abandoned. They don't know how to be God's people in exile, and they're not even sure God wants them to be God's people anymore. They say, "Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off completely." And this is not a lament or prayer of despair that they lift up to God, as we hear in the Psalms often. They are simply stating the facts as they know them, because they don't think God is listening. But God does hear them. And God still sees them as God's beloved children, God's own people, chosen and blessed to be a blessing. And so God picks Ezekiel up and carries him by the Spirit and sets Ezekiel down in the middle of this nightmare vision of the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel is a prophet and a priest, but he was also an exile, one of those who was deported, sent away to Babylon along with his people. And we don't know if Ezekiel also felt lost, if he felt like they did, like a pile of old forgotten bones in the wilderness. When God asks Ezekiel in his vision, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Ezekiel's answer stops well short of certainty that God can or will bring those bones to life. "Oh Lord God, you know." It's a careful answer. "I can neither confirm nor deny," Ezekiel says. But God says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. God says to Ezekiel, however you are feeling, Ezekiel, does not change my will or my power to bring new life. So you speak out loud the promises that I have made to bring redemption and healing to the people, and let's see what happens. And so Ezekiel does what God commands. And I wonder how foolish he felt as he did it, preaching to that field of bones. But he does. And there was a noise, a rattling, as the bones came together, bone to its bone, shk, 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 and sinews and flesh come upon them, and skin covers them, and there they stand. But there is no life in them. In Ezekiel's vision, we see resurrection and healing and redemption, but it is messy and scary. And it takes time. But it is what God wants for God's people. So God commands Ezekiel to prophesy again, to call the breath from the four winds, to breathe upon these slain that they may live. It is the breath of God that brings them back to life, a vast multitude living newly. Just as God's own breath gave life to the first humans, made in God's image at the beginning of everything. The people of Israel in exile forgot that story of creation, their story of creation. They forgot that they too were made in God's image, that God poured God's own breath into them to give them life, and nothing could take that away. They had heard again and again and seen in their struggle to follow God's ways and be God's people in the wilderness and then in their own land. They had struggled but had seen again and again that God is faithful and that it was always God's faithfulness that held them. But they forgot again. They thought God had abandoned them, that God did not want them anymore. And so God sent Ezekiel into the valley of dry bones and said to him, prophesy to these bones and say to them, you shall live. During communion, as I just talked with the kids about, when kids who don't yet receive communion come forward, Pastor Kate and I both give a blessing. And we each do it a little bit differently, but we both start with marking the sign of the cross on their foreheads, and we each say something like this. Remember, you are a blessed and beloved child of God forever and ever, and nothing can change that. Some kids, especially the littler ones, as they look up, they listen and they nod. And I love that. I say, remember, you're a beloved child of God. Okay, I will remember. And I hope that they do. I think about those kids receiving a spelling test marked in red, or hearing someone whisper something mean about them or say it to their face, or have that experience where they realize they're working harder than everyone else but still not getting it. And I hope they remember in those kinds of moments, I am a beloved child of God, and none of this changes that. When adults come forward to receive a blessing during communion, I say the same thing. I used to think that I should have a special adult blessing. I don't know what it would be, something with bigger words maybe, but I've never come up with anything better. And now I've come to think that maybe a lot of us adults probably need that simple reminder as often as our kids do. Adults never nod when I mark their foreheads with a cross and say, remember, you are a child of God. There are so many things that can cause us to forget that we are beloved children of God, make us think that God can't possibly want us, or that God is just not with us. Addiction, sexual harassment or assault, an illness that changes your body and your abilities, or your mind and your abilities, or medical treatment that does the same, failing at work or at home, depression or grief. There are so many sorrows in our lives, and there is darkness in our world around us, and sorrows that we see that can make us think God has forgotten us. But God is the one who remembers. We forget. Again and again, God's people forgot. They forgot how to live as God's people, called to justice and mercy, blessed to be a blessing to all God's world. They forgot God's faithful love for them. But again and again, God sent the prophets to remind them of God's call and God's promises. I will put my spirit within me. You think you are like dry bones. You are in your grave. I will open up your graves and I will raise you up and you shall live. You are a blessed and beloved child of God forever and ever. There is nothing you can do to change God's will or power to bring new life. Neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, no powers, no height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.